This video is concerned with critically examining and interpreting historical evidence. The key question here is how to make sense of historical data. As outlined before, this is a potentially biased sense-making procedure. A famous quote from a theorist of history states that when we take up a work of history, our first concerns should not be with the facts it contains, but with the historian who wrote it. What does this mean? Well, it underlines the importance of how we produce credible research. And we do so by making research practices visible. This enables others to gain richer insights into how our findings were produced. For history and beyond, source criticism is a key technique and procedure to extract trustworthy on the one hand and useful information on the other hand from data. And here we specifically consider the context of production of the data. So what do I mean with trustworthy and useful? We can establish trustworthiness of a source by interrogating it with a couple of critical questions. That's why it's called source criticism. For instance, what type of source is it? And what is the viewpoint it delivers? And who created it? For what purposes? Who was the intended audience? In what context was it created? Note here that this procedure of questioning the source might establish that, for example, an advertisement of a company might be less trustworthy for addressing certain research questions compared to, for instance, a critical article from a business journalist. This brings us directly to the second point, usefulness. Usefulness is a criterion that is not pre-given, but it must always be seen in relation to your research question. More specifically, you might wish to interrogate your source to establish what can you really learn from the source for your history project. So let's make an example of that. The specific document that we will scrutinize more closely will be hopefully helpful to provide you a better understanding what source criticism is all about. The document type here is a prospectus. Regarding its trustworthiness, we know that historians know that this specific document type emerged in the early 19th century. Usually those document types were published in outlets such as the Times and so forth. The purpose of the prospectus was as follows. So it was advertised by a promoter of the company to potential shareholders before a company becomes first floated on the stock exchange or subsequently when it needed additional funds. Then a promoter published this prospectus in a newspaper. As such, a prospectus provides the necessary decision basis for a potential shareholder in the decision whether to buy and purchase a share of a company or not. Also, from historians, we know that this type of document evolved over time. So early in the 19th century, the prospectus that we find tend to be very brief, and later on, you will find very lengthy prospectus then again. So after now establishing the limits of the trustworthiness, let's now consider its usefulness. Taking into account our research questions, we might learn a lot about, for instance, the purpose of the business and its prospects, the activity it plans to undertake, the assets it is about to purchase and so forth. However, we need to be cautious because as established previously, this is a notice that is published by the promoter of the business. So the merits of the companies are often overstated. So be critical here. Additionally, we might also learn something about expected performance and the actors involved. And of course here, we need to be cautious as well. So all in all, I think the prospectus is a very useful document type to get your research started. And here you see an example of a prospectus. It is the prospectus of the New Zealand company that I traced down in the Scotsman in 1865. So you see, it's a relatively brief statement, but nonetheless, we can learn a lot of from this source. Then by now, you might have realized that when you search those databases, you might run into either of two challenges. First, there is always the problem of toolless sources. And here, there is, of course, the possibility to change your subject. However, it has been proven that one can construct a company history with relatively a limited amount of sources. So you have to balance this question out yourself. Continue with your work or change your subject. Second, there is the problem of too much. So it may become difficult to tell the root from the trees. Here, my recommendation would be to use specific search strategies instead of just using the general Google style entry field. So narrow down your search to get better results. And better results means in this context, fewer but meaningful results. In sum, in this video, I explained that the basis of your interpretation is established by critically examining the trustworthiness and usefulness of the data that you obtained. From here, we can make then more specific inferences about the history of your company, as I will show in the next video.